Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Denise Coder. And Denise, we're going to say good morning and then we're going to ask you a question about your title.
Right. Laura Lynn Schultes, who was the director of our department, retired the end of this year. And so I've assumed her role within our agency, Cass County Home Care, and very happy and proud to be there.
Okay. One of the things that you move right into is that there is a change in the hospice services. I think they're still going to be really, really good, but there's a change happening, and that's for several reasons. We, in the past, had a really nice hospice center in the hospital, and that's going to go away. And people go, oh, my gosh, it's going away. So what's going to happen? How are hospice services going to be offered?
Well, that's the first point we want to make. Hospice services will be offered. Our hospice service overall is not going away. It's been a very mainstay for us for almost 30 years. Almost 40 years, I think. I have to do the math, Lamont. It's pretty early. So we want to make sure people know hospice is here to stay. What's changing is, and you alluded to this, that September of 2010, we did open the Cass County Hospice Center, which is location of rooms in the hospital where we provided the inpatient level of care to patients who needed it at the end of their lives. And so for many reasons, and we'll talk a little bit about what those are, we're going to transition that level of care back into the hospital where the hospital staff provide that level of care for us and also via continuous care in the homes if that works for patients.
Okay, so people will have this choice. They've had a choice in the past whether those folks who needed the care were in their homes or if they came to the center. And occasionally they really have to come to the hospital for care, but they still have that choice and they're still going to have that choice.
That's correct. And it's a very personal family decision. Some patients want to remain in their homes no matter what to the end of their lives, and we do whatever we can to make sure that happens. Now we'll be more fully developing our continuous care service where our staff's actually in the home for 8 or more hours at a time, providing that level of care and that service to the families when they need it. And then for those who either desire, some are going to need facility-based care. And for those families, again, the hospital their staff will provide that 24/7 care, that around-the-clock care. Our team will still be involved in those families' care, that patient's care as well. Our nurses and our social workers will still be working with families, guiding and directing the care, working with the hospital, education, and that kind of thing to make sure that all the needs are being met.
Okay. So I think a lot of us just assume that, well, it's going to go away because they're completely remodeling the hospital and all that, you know, they need that space for something, all that stuff is going to go away. So my first question, I guess, is what's going to happen to all the stuff in that room? Some of that was donated.
That's right. And, you know, when that process occurred several years ago, we always intended that there could be a different location for that service. Really what we did at the hospital was kind of more like a pilot program to see what the community response was and the community need, get our feet wet. And so everything we purchased, or majority of what we purchased with the mindset that it could be used in a different location. And indeed it will be once the new hospital, the new area opens in the hospital, the majority of those items, and there'll be some exceptions like the flooring probably won't be transferred over, but the majority of the items that we purchase with donated funding or that were donated will be transferred into the new area of the hospital. We've got locations identified for the majority of those things, and we're really excited because amazingly, the decor fits well. Everything looks good and will look good. And so the community overall will still benefit from those donations, and so will hospice patients and their families.
Another concern, I think, is there's some people say, well, they just have to do this because of all those remodeling. But there are some other reasons that this change is being made.
Well, certainly this service is, and we talked about this, a 24/7, 365 day a year service. We have to be prepared to deliver that service at any time to one or more patients. And that can be very difficult for a community our size to maintain. And the reason for that is that we don't have a continual census up there all the time. Our community is small, and so sometimes we would go without any patients in the center for days or a week or even 2 weeks at a time. That's very, very difficult to staff. When you think about employing people, people are employed for a reason. Generally, they need a paycheck. And so, you know, not having patients to serve for those lengths of time was very difficult on staffing for us.
And I would just say that was all hospice staff, not hospital staff. So when you're talking about staffing, this was all home care hospice staff.
That's right, right. We were staffing those positions, and it is a service that we do. So we managed the center, and it was our staff, you're correct. And legally could not have been typically the hospital staff. There's some lines that are drawn there as far as, you know, who does what. So anyway, and then just looking forward to knowing that as more baby boomers retire, our healthcare workforce is going to be shrinking, knowing that that situation probably isn't going to get better for us as far as staffing. We've had open positions there for quite a while, and hospice is a very special kind of service. Even, you know, just not any old nurse, any nurse might not want to do hospice. That might not be in their heart, just like not every nurse wants to do OB. It's a very specialized service. And so it's, you know, got to the point where it was very difficult to, you know, ensure that we could get the amount of coverage that we needed should patients happen to be in the center. And looking forward, we knew it would get even more difficult. And so being able to use those resources or some of those resources now in our other services down here, like continuous care, is going to be easier for us because that's not necessarily 24/7, 365 days a year. Could be, you know, for some short periods of time, 24/7, but not 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm. So it really depends on the needs. And you're being, I think, much more flexible with the staff and working together with the hospital staff. So I think bottom line, and this is beginning here very soon, this change where the hospice folks will be in regular patient rooms. Is that correct?
That's right. Actually, we're targeting the end of February for that. And that has less to do, LaVon, as we talked before, about the location, because really from the hospital's perspective, that space will be available for longer than that. But from our perspective, more to do with the staffing and being able to redeploy some of those staff members into the home hospice needs and to more fully develop some of our home hospice services down here. Because statistically, more than 90% of patients want to be in their home, and that's where they want to be, and that's where we want to serve them. That's where we need to be deploying our services. If that's what our patients want, that's what we're here for. We need to meet their needs.
And when you're talking about statistics and numbers and so on, this isn't the only place that the centers are changing. There are other places where centers were built that are now closing.
Nationally, that's right. We're seeing that trend. And you know, sometimes it's difficult to predict what customers and patients and families will want. And so sometimes you do services like this and try things. And we were very blessed that we had that space at the hospital to do this pilot program to try to see what it would be like, versus some communities where they did build a freestanding center and then discovered, you know, we don't have the demand. And so we were blessed that we had that opportunity to give that a try. And LaVon, one thing I think we need to remember is our world and our society is changing all the time. So who knows in 5 years what people may or may not want. And as healthcare providers, we have to be responsive to that. We have to watch the clues and the cues and use our resources the best to serve our communities.
So bottom line, Denise, is that the hospice facilities, the hospice care is still going to be available no matter kind of where it is. It's still here.
Yes. We're still going to provide hospice care. Our team will still be available to provide hospice care, and we're going to deliver that care where the majority of people want it provided. We will still have that inpatient level of care available through the hospital for those who need it, and we'll work directly with the hospital to make that happen if and when the time comes for those families. But our team works very closely with the families and to make sure that those needs are met on an ongoing basis. That's our job.
Okay, well, we want to thank you very much, Denise Coder, who's site manager for Home Care Hospice. And until next time, here's a thought. Here is a last-minute thought, Denise.
I want to remind you that we're accepting daffodils orders. Today's the last day. So if you need to make a daffodil order and you haven't, you need to be calling Myron Gross Real Estate at 243-4100.
Order your daffodils now. And a reminder that we don't like change, but change provides opportunity.